Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Who does it? Who does it? Who does it? Who
does it? Hey, Chad.
Who does it? Who
does it? From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Here now, John and Lance.
All right, so yesterday, Jim Irsay tweeted this up. NFL running back situation. We have negotiated a CBA that took years of effort and hard work and compromise and good faith by both sides. To say now that a specific player category wants another negotiation after the fact is inappropriate. Some agents are selling bad faith. And back came Jonathan Taylor's agent, who retweeted it and quote tweeted it. Bad faith is not paying your top offensive player. I can certainly see both sides of it. It's the reality of the business.
I had this conversation with my son Alec yesterday. Name another position in any other sport where you're at your best your first 4 years. And then it's potentially, and then you can either potentially stay at that level or you can potentially go downhill historically.
Possibly tennis player, female tennis player.
Not the best ones. Fred Taylor's a really good running back. I mean, not historically the best at the time. You're not golf like his. Like right now.
Now that's a, but that's a, you get paid on your ability in that sport, not on a contract. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah, but even then, I think you can see a really good running back fall off by the age of 27 or 28.
Gymnastics.
Yeah, and you got to go to where you're physically smaller.
Yes,
and you can outgrow the sport.
Right.
Can't think of anything else because there's not even in football.
Well,
not even
I can't think of anything
in
else.
The same
which,
sport.
Which they are. This is the problem is in Najee Davenport, Najee Harris, and
Josh Jacobs.
Oh, yeah, and a bunch Najee, of guys have talked about how the better we are, the worse off we are, and that doesn't happen in sports either.
Well,
the more productive you are, the more they use you.
But it's not the owner's fault. It's frankly, it's nobody's fault. People are blaming the analytics movement for this. The analytics movement simply opened people's eyes, simply took data that has been out there forever. Data is just nothing but historical numbers that you could look up on Pro Football Reference if you wanted to. Anybody can do it. And putting all the numbers together, doing studies and saying, hey, it's what our eyeballs have told us this for a long time. Remember once Sean Alexander, all of a sudden, he just fell completely off after being a really good running back, fell completely off the map. Larry Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
Completely off the map. And we used to just say, well, it's after you've had 2,000 yards. But the reality is, Earl Campbell got run into the ground physically. And he probably, I'd have to go back and see how many carries.
Terrell
my guess
Davis.
Is he had a ton of carries in college, too. Yeah. Terrell lasted until the knee got Terrell Davis. And Terrell had low usage in college.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they had in Terrell Davis. Terrell was just the knee guy. But yeah, it eventually, you know, Curtis Martin lasted a while. There's still but Curtis Martin would be
Frank Gore
right now a $9 million back, you know, a high usage back. Frank Gore lasted forever. It's just, there's no other football position I can think of. Think of a football position where you're at your best when you're 26, but by the time you're 29, you're cooked a lot of times.
For Robert Griffin III, Robert Griffin III is calling for all running backs to go on strike. To strike until they go back to the collective bargaining agreement, and it's a 3-year deal for everybody in the league, and then you become free agents.
But all these
my goodness, this has been collectively bargained, Robert Griffin.
But see,
III. It's
not about a team; it's about every player getting the most possible money that every player can get. When it has been collectively bargained, it's not going anywhere for 10 years, and the salary pool means you have to take it from somewhere else. Who else gets their money taken away? You're going to fight for quarterbacks to start giving back? Frankly, quarterbacks are overpaid.
Right.
A majority of quarterbacks are overpaid. Justin, now I'm including Justin Herbert. Right. That's too much. Justin Herbert's not proven he's one of the top three quarterbacks in the league.
Well, I'm of the opinion that, you know what? Najee Harris is right. Najee Harris said, look, when it's time to win a football game, they come up to me and they said, we're going to lean on you now, pal. We need you now. Every single play, you're going to drop back to pass. You're going to have to block. We're going to drop back to pass. You need to go out for a route. You know, we need you. We need you to perform. Here's Najee Harris talking about, and I think he makes a lot of good points.
Now you guys are using us to accomplish what you guys want, and then when it's time for us to re-up, now you guys are using us to accomplish what you guys want, and then when it's time for us to re-up or ask for something that we think is right, you guys just turn the cheek and say, well, you have wear and tear. It's like, come on now, bro. Like, you know what you're trying to do. You're trying to utilize us as much as you can, get as much as you can out of us for cheap, and then, you know what I mean, go get another back or something like that and try to do the same thing again. You know, that's the trend that is happening right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's proven to be a good model.
Now, how about heavily incentive-laden contracts for running backs?
Here's some answers.
Because you use me more, I give you more, you pay me more.
Here's some answers I've been thinking of. No fifth-year option for running backs. That's the very specific. And these are addendums they could make. Say, okay, there's no fifth-year options for running backs. If you want to draft a running back, you only get 4 years. Now, what will happen is you really won't see a lot of running backs drafted in the first. You can pretty much forget being drafted in the first.
Right. Now, it's smart to draft them in the first.
Yeah, because but it still doesn't happen much. But you get the fifth year. You get the – and what makes it smart is it's smart financially.
It's really now, smart to get them at the end of the first
analytics round. People believe it's stupid anytime because you can go – and I get that argument. But for me, I think if you have a really exceptional back, it makes a lot of sense because you
get
that fifth
year and then you get a franchise year.
You get a franchise year. You get 6 years. And really, that's the lifeblood of a player's career.
And if you get them at the end of the first round, you ain't paying them much
people
at all.
I get that people are so upset because everything is about player, right? It's not about team. It's always about player now. Mm-hmm. We've had a fundamental shift. So it's only about player and it's not about team. And it's not about anything that's been collectively bargained. And once it's been collectively bargained by the other side, this is the unfortunate reality is that, like, no one's given money back for wide receivers who have seen an unprecedented spike in salary. No one's given money back for quarterbacks who have seen an unprecedented spike. But I'll say this, running backs are screwed because it is the nature of once you lose a step physically, you play the most physical position. I mean, certainly linebackers, extremely physical. A lot of positions are very physical. But with running backs, because of analytics, they understand lesser usage is more important. Having more, it's like pitchers, John. You don't have complete games anymore. You're not going to have 30 carry backs. You're not going to have 29 carry backs.
They're still getting paid, though. They're getting paid ridiculous amounts.
Yeah, but pitchers are not going to throw complete games. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they figured out usage rates. You know why there is some, you know, load management in the NBA? Because they figured out usage rates. They're figuring out the body, and it's sports science. And with running backs, it goes even deeper. You start to lose a step very quickly in the NFL. Once you do, it has an impact on how wide can you get. Can you get wide? Can you outflank the tacklers? Because if you can't, now the field becomes much more constricted on you, and you become a grinder. Eddie George was a grinder. Eddie George would have been nothing but a hammerhead who would have, by the third year in the league, would have been just looked at as basically how the Titans wouldn't have had financial value. He had the value of, you know, moving chains because he'd carried for 3.8 tough yards. But this is never going to change for running backs. So how do you artificially change it? You go to a four-year contract instead of a fifth-year option. No fifth-year option. You only have one franchise tag year that you do it. So that's your fifth year. You may want to include, like you said, incentives or maybe even fundamentally alter. Well, let me ask you.
How long is this CBA?
It's until 33. It's 10 years.
Well, then guess what? They ain't going back and redoing that CBA.
It's too long. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you'd almost have to make an addendum, but that's too – I don't think the NFL can fade this.
Why would the owners go back and say, okay, well, let's make it better for you guys?
Well,
there's no chance
they do
that.
Because no one's doing that for all this money that's getting guaranteed. If they say, okay, you know what? Let's do away with guaranteed money for quarterbacks and wide receivers. Let's put a cap of the most guaranteed money you can get is 75% of your contract, and then we will raise we'll come up with some solutions for running backs. How about that?
No, of course not.
No. Well, but there's got to be a give and take because there's no guidelines or give and takes for the team side. Everyone just likes to say billionaire owners, but it's really team. It's team construction. It has to do with other players on the team too.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776.
But I get it, man. How would you like to be Saquon Barkley and you look at your 1 year $11 million contract and then you see Jaylen Brown?
Well, you see your quarterback $40 million.
Right. But then you see but the problem NFL players have voiced. It's like once they started seeing NBA contracts crazy, they're like, hey, and there's a, if you're Jaylen, you're sitting at home and you see, I mean, you're Saquon, you signed 1 year, $11 million, and you don't know what's going to happen after this year. And Jaylen Brown just got $300 million guaranteed.
For 5 years.
He is going to make 30 times what you make.
Yeah, right.
You guaranteed.
We got to break it here. 713-780-3776 is the number. I was out barbecuing last night on my grill outside, and I was watering the plants, and I had a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light in my hand, and I was going to tweet it out, but I knew that there was probably something in my backyard that everybody would make fun of me about, because anytime I tweet out my shoes or my TV or whatever, then people are stupid. So I didn't do it, and I regret it. Because I wanted you to know that I was drinking Coors Lights yesterday while I was barbecuing. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Today, I'm going to be golfing and then going to the movies with my wife. And I'm probably going, not probably, I'm going to be having some cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights. I am going to keep, now usually the theaters are chill, but I'm going to keep it even chiller. I'm going to make it even chillier in that theater tonight. I am going to make the golf course Wildcat. It's going to be chillier today because I'm going to have Coors Lights out there. Look, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I don't care. If I'm going to be doing it, I'm probably, more than likely, going to have a Coors Light. You keep Texas chill like I'm doing my part. Are you doing yours? Keep Texas chill. If you're looking for the best way to keep Texas chill, look at those blue, no further than those Blue Mountains on your cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
Currently, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, one is a renowned forensic blood splatter expert. The other, an appointed master of haberdashery. It's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros lose it last night in a big way. 13-5 was your final. Had a little dust up between Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia got in the middle of it. Martin Maldonado was none too pleased with the way Semien handled the situation yesterday. Yordan Alvarez hit in the shoulder, and then so was Marcus Semien. He came right back and homered off of Fromber, and that's the way you show him. And then he was chirping around the bases, and he and Maldonado got into it a little bit. Both got ejected, and the Astros lose it 13-5. And oh well, you move on. From that one, and you're just two games back now. You picked up a game in the series, so thank you very much. You got the day off today, and then you got Tampa coming to town. Good baseball team. And then after that, Cleveland. And then look at this. At the Yankees for four and at Baltimore. That's going to be a good road trip. That's a tough road trip after your longest home series of the season.
It's a test. You know, to beat up on lesser teams is one thing, but
they play better against better teams.
I know. They do. No, they do. They do. Every time it's been like, oh, I don't know. And it's not like the Yankees aren't good. The Yankees aren't good this year. They're last in their division.
No.
The Orioles are the team. And the Orioles, built by former Astro executive Mike Elias, I mean, he's probably following the same Leno model. If you want to know, you know, it's going to be a well-built model with a very good building blocks as core players. That's going to be the really interesting challenge. I think the Orioles, if you're the Astros, you say, okay, it's good. It's a tough road trip. If you're the Orioles, you say, hey, this is it now.
Yeah.
This is a true test of who we are. Well, are we ready for this?
Especially with Altuve back.
Yeah,
Yordan back. By then, Urquidy will be back. By then, Altuve will be back into his rhythm. I mean, he came off 17 days without going to the minors and seeing any pitching. Hey, of course he grounded out three times yesterday, and that's just fine. Yordan got a hit. He had a little bit of a rehab start, so maybe he was a little bit more ready to go.
He hasn't been in game situations since June 3rd before yesterday.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, but I think the Orioles come into that like – this is a real they have got the Astros lined up in their sights, and we'll see how real the Orioles are. I think they're pretty real, but everyone's got a game plan against the Astros until they get sucked in the mouth and by Bregman or Tucker or whoever's going to be the star of that day. So I think the real question around Major League Baseball is going to be, hey, let's forget us as Houston fans. You know what everyone else is looking at? Hey, let's see how the Orioles do against the Astros.
Yeah.
Let's see how they do against the Astros, because the Rangers haven't done all that well against the Astros. Let's see how the Orioles do against the Astros, because we're the test. I mean, we're the true test for everyone. The Astros are the true test to see what you're really made of.
Right. Well, since they have, and they're in the East, they took care of that Rays business. They won 2 out of 3 there. They just lost 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, but they've got the Yankees now. They would probably tell you, yeah, the Astros are nice, but we've got to take care of business against the Yankees. We got Toronto. Look at their schedule. They got 3 against the Yankees. Then they're at Toronto for 4, which these are all division games that are going to be, high pressure games. Then they got the Mets, and while the Mets suck, they still got a lot of talent. And then they got the Astros. So this road for the Orioles at 22 games over 500, 62-40. And oh, by the way, this is those games against the Orioles coming up. I think the Astros are going to be vying for. A buddy of mine, hey, don't feel bad about this game up in Dallas. John Clay Wolf texted me last night. Hey, don't feel bad about this game. We'll see up here in September.
Don't worry.
I said, don't worry. I don't feel bad at all. As a matter of fact, taking 2 out of 3. And oh, by the way, by the time that September series comes along, it ain't going to mean much because the Astros are going to be running away with the division. Right. Yeah, and that's the way I feel. And then another guy texts me, oh, I heard you on the radio talking about the Astros winning the division by 6. The Astros are going to win the division by 6, by 6 games, all right? That's exactly what's going to happen.
Under.
Yeah. No, okay, you go under. I think ahead.
I think they can win the division.
That's not. No.
That's very thundersticky.
That is very thundersticky.
It is not thundersticky.
6 games?
You just told us that the pitchers that Javier and Fromber are in serious trouble.
Altuve would hit 300 when he was at 230.
You've lived on that forever.
No.
You can't just keep saying that and not say you're a thundersticker.
I told you, Joe Burrow. Bing, 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 bing.
What'd you tell us about every over that's ever, Deshaun was going to get 50 touchdowns?
He was closer to getting 50 allegations than touchdowns.
He actually was closer to allegations.
No, he had a bunch of touchdowns that year. I didn't know if he had 26. Did he have 26?
Was it the year where they went 4?
That was the allegations.
The allegation pool?
Yeah, was it the year where they went 4-12 and he had his best season of career?
Yeah. But Deshaun did his part. It was Bill O'Brien that was stupid.
Ah.
Okay. This whole Mac Jones is going to be a good thing. Okay.
Where'd this come from?
Because he has a real coordinator now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, is he not going to be better, though, on it? How could he be worse?
No, but why?
Then when your defensive coordinator is dead. Hey, you run the offense. That's okay. Really?
They're going to change his inability to handle a pocket or that. That marshmallow arm he has. Is Bill O'Brien going to change all that?
He's accurate, though.
Is Bill O'Brien going to do that butt thing?
So, let me ask you this question.
No.
Let me ask you this question. The Patriots win 7 games. Belichick back next year?
Man. No, I don't think he's back. Because you know what? He's also been the architect of these drafts, which have not been what they needed to be. And he's the guy Well, no, he didn't trade to. That's Trey Lance. That was the Trey Lance trade. He hasn't been great drafting. He hasn't been great putting together the roster from a general sense. He's forever had issues at wide receiver. I mean, this has been a running issue for him for a long, long time. He can't find wide receivers. I think that there may be enough smoke. Now, should he? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think Bill Belichick should ever be fired. Bill Belichick is kind of a lifer over there.
Well, they'll say he's walking away.
Right.
But he and Kraft allegedly.
That's why I say, yeah, because if they – if and this has been going on since there was the lover's spat, the lover's triangle between Kraft and Belichick and Brady. We had heard about that in a book that had been written a while back. Remember that? Like three or four years ago? Mm-hmm. So, no, I think there's enough smoke out there to believe that Bill Belichick is not necessarily safe with Robert Kraft there. Kraft may want to go in a different direction. Hey, at some point, yeah, Bill Belichick's been great, but at some point, when the reputation is superseding the performance on the field, after 20-some-odd years, you just want to say, you know what, let's I just want the next iteration. Robert Kraft is not a young guy. Robert Kraft may say, I want to see what the next iteration of the Patriots could be.
Yep.
He may say that.
828, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got some numbers for you that I want to go through. NFL wide receiver numbers. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But I want to talk right now about Houston Powder Coaters. It doesn't matter what your metal is, and if it's older, if it's rusty, if it just it's falling apart, if your patio furniture is falling apart, they can fix it even. I mean, the straps, the slings, they can repair if broken legs, whatever it is that you've got going on. If you've got wheels, lift kits, bumpers, if you've got sewing machine bases, boats. You know, you're in that salt water. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get rusted out. Well, guess what? Houston Powder Coaters can fix that boat for you. Any metal that appears to be rusting out, Houston Powder Coaters can make it look, and oh, by the way, be a lot safer because it's not rusted out anymore. So there is a reason for you, no matter what it is, free pickup and delivery. Now, if they can't pick it up, especially at a business like they did the Ferris wheel downtown, they'll do it right there. If your gate, if your fence at your business is rusting out, they will come out there. They've got the ability to do it on site so they can powder coat it right there and then. But if you have something that can be moved, they will free pickup and free delivery for whatever metal that is. You, my friends, are going to benefit from the greatness that is Houston Powder Coaters. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888. Make sure you tell Robin you heard it right here, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your daily distraction from the horrific reality of your very existence. Man, I didn't know it was that bad. But hey, it's John and Lance.
All right, so under-overs on receivers. Surprisingly, they didn't put Nico Collins in this, but okay, whatever. Like Nico Collins isn't going to dominate the league. Top five receivers. What do you think the top number is in receiving yards this season? Under, over.
The top numbers?
The top number. Receptions. Yards? Let's say receptions
all
first.
Right. Receptions, let's go with, I'm going to say the over-under would be 117.5.
107.5.
Okay.
Two guys.
The two guys would be, it would have to be, I don't think it's Chase.
No.
I don't think it's – oh, it'd be Stephon Diggs.
Nope.
Not Stephon Diggs?
No, he's at 97 – they're both at 97.5.
Okay, so
Devontae Adams is 97.5.
Oh, wow.
You got Jimmy Garoppolo throwing to him. That's the problem. Maybe not. So –
hold on, let me think. Well, you're not counting Travis Kelce.
No.
I mean, he's a tight end, but he's going to get a lot of targets. I don't know. Who is it?
Cooper Kupp.
Oh, I forgot. C. Cup is back.
And Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two.
Tyreek Hill is third at 100.5.
I like it.
Oh,
no. You know why I don't? So did you see, Dell? I'm sure you saw what Mike McDaniel said. I filed this away for my memory banks when it comes time for fantasy. He apologized to his running backs and said, we're going to use you more this year. That was my bad. We're going to use you more. Which means more running, more of a commitment to running, maybe a little less dink and dunk stuff where Tua just tries to get his 2-yard dump off the turns into a 75-yard.
Are we still pulling this crap with the dink and dunk? He had most doink, stop
and then
it.
You let a fast a guy dinker. Run.
Yeah.
You let a fast guy run for 60 yards.
He was the best down-the-field thrower in all of football, but sure, he's a dinker and dunker. Odd how that changes when you have two really good football players, and you don't have Chan Gailey calling plays, how things change for
Chan
you.
Chan Gailey's won a Super Bowl.
Wait, how long ago was that?
Has Mike McDaniel won a Super Bowl?
Nothing. No.
Maybe
Nothing.
He could learn a thing or two from Chan Gailey and Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt? Yeah, that's right. Butch Davis? Butch Davis never coached the Dolphins.
He coached the Cowboys. He was a Cowboy coach, or maybe...
A defensive coordinator for the Cowboys?
Most, yeah, these are Super Bowl winning coaches.
Most receiving yards.
Dave Campo, yes. Campo.
Who else?
Most receiving yards. It's easy.
Well, most receiving yards, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
What do you think that number is?
That number's probably with the great Kirk Cousins from the hit show Quarterbacks. I'd say 1,600.
No, 1,400 and a half. 16 is a number.
Do you have a burner, Lance? Because John and I were tweeted about, as sports fans, how could we possibly not be interested in watching the quarterback show? He was like, I get that it's not at the top of your list, but how could you possibly not want to watch that show? Was that your burner?
No, it's not my burner. It's a good show, but I could see it. It took me a little while. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I spend all my time doing football stuff anyway. I don't know. But then once you start it, you know, it's really good. And the documentarian in you, the documentary loving fan. Like, I'm watching Hard Knocks this year. I've missed it the last 2 years. I am watching it. I've kind of been out for the last 3 years, frankly. With Aaron Rodgers there, I don't know if you've paid any attention to some of the Rodgers, to some of the battles between Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. It's been unbelievable. Some of the throws Aaron Rodgers are making right now are just absolutely preposterous. But honestly, Garrett Wilson should probably be a little. Does Garrett Wilson in there?
Garrett Wilson would be in here, yes.
I'm going to say 1,200 for him.
No,
I think he's hitting this year. I bet he's lower. I bet he's...
He's going to be way 11. Lower than that.
Aaron Rodgers, top receiver?
Dude, the second place... Okay, it goes Justin Jefferson, 1,400 and a half. Devontae Adams is 1,275. Jamar Chase, 1,275. Tariq Hill, 1,275. Cooper Kupp, 1,250.
Keep going.
So I'm trying to find Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, 1125.
Yeah.
1125. I mean, you got a little leeway then. You get yourself how many receptions for Garrett Wilson this year?
I'll give him, if it's 1125, I'll give him 87.
87 and a half.
Okay.
And 7.5 touchdowns.
I like that over.
You'd be surprised at how the low
I'm not
touchdown
surprised.
Numbers. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. It's always, you know, you always think everything's going to go way over, and
it's not.
It's tough sometimes. I mean, sometimes there's easy years where it does happen, but that's not the norm where guys are getting 14 touchdown catches.
No. It just doesn't. No. Devontae Adams over under TDs is 8.5. And, you know, he's by far their number one guy, by far. Christian Kirk. 4.5 under over.
Christian Kirk, how much?
4.5
touchdowns.
Here's one I don't love.
That could end up being an easy W early if he really falls in love with that slot receiver. That could be an easy.
It
win.
Could, yeah, it absolutely
by,
could.
By
and,
week 10,
and he's going to be better this year, isn't he? Trevor Lawrence is going to be easier.
Did you see Trevor Lawrence is behind Justin Fields in the NFL top 100?
Really?
Trevor Lawrence was like 96, and Justin Fields is like 89.
Wow. That's a little disrespectful. No, no,
a little
no.
disrespectful?
A little disrespectful.
The NFL players ain't about sunshine right now.
No.
No, no. I mean, so Mike Evans, what do you think Mike Evans' numbers are?
Hardest number. I'm going to say 1,000.
It's 900.5. I think that's high.
Yeah, it could be.
And 65.5 catches?
Well, and that's
who's going to throw it to?
He's still got Godwin too.
I know.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
that's you remember when he won the Heisman?
Yeah, I remember when he won the Heisman. You remember when he was throwing the ball last year, and the year before, and the year before that?
Yeah, I remember his rookie year. He was actually pretty good in Cleveland.
Was he?
Remember that game in the for the Rams where he had that really big game?
Yeah, he had a game. I remember that. Yeah, that was awesome. That was really, really good.
Who's to say he can't do that?
Take
17 more times. Are you going to deny that Baker can do what he did against the Rams at one game 17
times? Remember
when
Baker planted the flag at Ohio State?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember all that. That's awesome. Wow. I think 900.5 go under. I just don't see it from Mike Evans. And then, all by the way.
Well, because Godwin's also there, too.
Yeah, right.
And they're going to need to run the ball to slow down games. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't see him.
But he's also a primary wide receiver.
Let's fire the ball around with Baker.
But he's a primary wide receiver. If he plays all 17 games,
if he plays all 17 games.
That's not a whole lot of yards that he needs.
No, no, but that is if he plays all.
That's needing about 58 yards a game.
Chris Godwin under over 825, 82.5. So 87.5 and 82.5.
I'm going to let you add them on your fantasy team.
We're talking about 170 catches between those two guys. I'm sorry, that ain't happening.
Let's not focus on all these other teams. Let's give some numbers for your faves, the Texans. Set a number.
Okay.
How many?
Well, we did already, and we got chastised for it.
What's the
which was probably pretty correct.
What? Okay, you've been talking tank up.
Chastised for it. What do you mean?
Well, because I think we had Nico Collins for 900 yards and 7 touchdowns.
No, I had him for 700. 700 yards. I don't think he'll get to 900, like high 700s, which would be a big jump for him.
But 7 touchdowns. He had 2 last year.
Yeah, I think the touchdown total is going to get a lot higher for him.
I like a more interesting question. By week 4, will we be complaining that Robert Woods is taking snaps away from Tank Dell?
It's possible. C.J. Stroud walked off.
I think there's enough snaps for everybody. I think Stroud, him on one side.
Not that there's not enough. Somebody's going to get left out here because this is not a 4-wide offense. It's not. That's not what Bobby Slowick's offense is likely to be unless he goes completely rogue and gets away from Kyle Shanahan's offense. It's not a 4-wide offense. It's an offense that's going to be some 3-wide and occasionally some 2-tight. But who are your if they don't go 4-wide, who's playing? I think Tank Dell's going to beat out John Metchie. I really do. Tank Dell right now is – we already heard C.J. Stroud on draft day that they asked him about it. I love Tank. I got to know Tank during this process. Let's get Tank. It was a little oversold as he went to the team to tell him to draft Tank. That's not how it happened. But they're running off the field together yesterday. I just think Tank Dell is going to make an immediate impact. He's a better separator than John Metchie. It's not really – John Metchie's a very professional route runner. Tank is a naturally explosive. John Metchie's like 6 foot, 200 pounds. Tank Dell is – 50 pounds lighter than that. So in the neighborhood, 45, 48, whatever. So they're different types. But if Metchie can play outside, which I don't think he's going to separate all that well, but this offense kind of gets you open a little bit. You have Nico Collins. Then I don't know. Then maybe Robert Woods doesn't. Maybe. But they gave him some guaranteed money. Somebody is not going to play.
Robert Woods has a name, but Robert Woods has not had been.
He may be more named in game.
He's had some more injury named than game.
If I asked you, now he's a little bit slightly bigger. If I asked you why Tank Atwell won't be Tank Dell won't be two Atwell, why won't he be?
Well, that's a fair question. That's a fair question. I think Tank. Here's what I would tell you from writing both those guys up. I had a second round grade on Tank. I had a fifth round grade on Tutu Atwell. Tutu Atwell to me was just. He used his speed vertically to just beat guys, and that's who he was. He was just running to space with vertical routes a lot of times and was a really good return guy. Tank Dell beats people in the red zone. He creates touchdowns inside of 20 yards. He creates yardage for himself out of the slot with choice routes, either breaking in or breaking out. Like Tutu is a fast guy. Tank Dell is a quick, explosive guy. They were both really good return guys. But I just think he's the more natural receiver, where the other guy's just a tiny, fast guy.
The biggest season that Tutu Atwell had was 69 catches.
Well, it's different offenses.
He had 46 catches. He had 24 catches. Tank Dell was more productive.
Tank Dell played in a much – I mean, Louisville did throw the ball around, but they ran – and when Tutu was there, they ran a lot of zone – running game, and they weren't the wide open like Houston was. I wouldn't use that as an example, but if Tutu isn't as good of a player, that's fine. I just ask because if we're going by listed weights, they're the same size, and we know Tutu is a guy who's pretty much become a gimmick player for the Rams, if that. But I know people feel strongly about Tank. I just wanted to know if we're trying to differentiate, why would one succeed and the other won't? And Lance gave his answers.
Yeah, well. One was a lot more productive in college.
Well, as I said, the offenses would say provided Tank more opportunities. Scott Satterfield's offense at Louisville, that's that Appalachian State stuff that they ran. That's not what Houston ran. Of course Tank's going to have better numbers because he's going to get more opportunities.
Yeah, but if you're a go-to guy, which Tank has been, I mean, they're going to find – well, you're stupid if you're not getting a guy. And listen, he had a really good season his sophomore year. He had 11 touchdowns.
Who, Tank?
Yeah. No, Tutu.
Oh, Tutu Atwell. Yeah, but like I said,
he had one really good season.
He's really a lot faster than other guys. Tank, to me, can beat guys on routes left and right, not just straight down the field. If you're a vertical wide receiver and you're 150-some-odd pounds, that almost never works out. Very rarely, like Deshaun Jackson is a guy, he wasn't that small. But if you're a wee player, you can't just win vertically because when you have NFL speed running with you, they're going to tower over you and knock down a lot of those passes. So, yeah, Tank is different than – I think Tank's different too. But we'll see if he is. I mean, I think the NFL – one of the things that hurt Tank Dell, I think, is that Tutu Atwell hasn't been much of a factor. Dwayne Eskridge hasn't been much of a factor. Some of these speed guys, which that's not Tank to me, but whatever, I think some of the smaller wide receivers have not been as effective as where they were drafted, so I think it hurt Tank Dell a little bit. Somebody's not – it wouldn't surprise me if Robert Woods doesn't get the same number of snaps maybe that's expected, even though he's got guaranteed money over the next 2 years. But I think somebody's going to – and I – did you read what – do we have – well, I don't know if you read what Nick Caserio said. Do we have what Nick Caserio said about John Mechie?
Yes, we have it, and we'll do it on the other side.
We'll do it on the other side because it's very Nick.
Yeah.
Somewhat noncommittal.
But, right, we got to talk about patios right now, though.
Well, Texas Custom Patios. I love talking about Texas Custom Patios because they're a company who is unafraid to spend as much time as humanly possible to make sure that you get the type of product that you deserve. And they put a lot of time into the design. They'll go out there with you and help you with stone selection, your granite selection, whatever you're doing with your outdoor kitchen. But it's not just outdoor kitchen. They build columns with natural stone, which makes it look great. It really adds to it. And yesterday, there was a cabinet maker who came out to our house, and he went out to the patio. He's like, wow. And this guy actually lives in the neighborhood. And he told me, wow, this is really going to add a lot of value here in this neighborhood. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know. And it's something that you want to add to your quality of life. But, you know, for some people out there who think that this isn't going to be your forever home, and also you get dollar for dollar value coming back. And frankly, when people go see your outdoor patio in your kitchen or your swimming pool or whatever it is that they're building for you, it is going to add value to that home, and it's going to be a big differentiator for people who are looking on the marketplace. So make sure that you have Texas Custom Patios working for your best quality of life. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerlei.
All right, Dell, we got, you know, this is going to be, hopefully, it looks like it could be a great quarterback class coming up. But we got a lot of new jobs. Yeah, well, you don't like Drake May, we know. I'm a big Jalen Daniels guy from Kansas. Not Jaden Daniels, Jalen Daniels from Kansas. I'm a big fan, and I think he's going to shoot up the draft boards, and I think he's going to be great. Penix is going to be great. You know, we got a
Kansas. Just for people, it's Penix.
What did he just Penix? Say?
Penix, not Penix.
Penix, Penix.
Well, I think Michael would prefer Penix.
Penix? Well, I'm sure he would too. But I'm like BK. I say I pronounce things differently.
I think Michael Penix is going to need you to pronounce that correctly.
Michael Penix, Cam Ward. We got a lot of guys. But we also got a lot of new guys coming in. The favorite to start for Alabama week one, Ty Simpson.
That's why they were sniffing around Tyler Van Dyke in the offseason, putting out feelers, because for the first time in a bit, some uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Well, he's not that big a favorite over Tyler Buchner.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Tyler Buchner, who was at Notre Dame, I think.
Yeah.
Who wasn't that great at Notre Dame. So Alabama's got – that's the question at Alabama.
Well, what about the big kid, Jalen Milroe?
Well,
he came in last year.
Saw him in the spring. You saw him against Texas A&M, right?
Right. I mean, he is a load.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, but he
not
can't
refined.
Pass at all. His passing's terrible.
Yeah.
So Alabama's got questions there.
He looks great. I mean, I could see him playing pro at a different position.
Yeah.
But quarterback right now, that doesn't look like it's it at all. He was really bad throwing the football. Now, don't let him get out in space.
Oh my gosh.
Got a lot of problems on your hands.
Holy crap. Carson Beck at Georgia.
Yeah.
They've been waiting on him.
Carson Beck is a secret. He's a little bit of a secret Heisman guy.
Yeah.
I keep an eye on.
Ohio State. Kyle McCord is the favorite over Devin Brown. Do we know anything about Kyle McCord?
Other than he's just been a backup there for a couple years now. I mean, he's Ohio State, you know, the pedigree of getting a 4 or 5-star quarterback. He hasn't done much because he hasn't had time. I guess finally he'll be the guy. And it is for those teams who are always competing for a national title. When was the last time we were so – I guess CJ Stroud came in as a freshman and we were good. He was good, so we were okay. But from Tua to Mac to Bryce – and Stetson Bennett has been there for 80 years. So those three in an odd position where we don't know much about them, but it feels like the institutional talent level will make up for anything they have until later in the year when they're better off.
Mm-hmm. And then at Auburn, not that it matters, Peyton Tome against Robbie Ashford are fighting for that one. It's Auburn, so we're not really going to
care. They got Hugh Freeze, so
yeah,
they should
so
be
cheat.
Better.
They should.
Well, they're in the SEC. Of course they're going to cheat.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be in the SEC, you've got to cheat. No question about that. But these are some battles that are going to start next week, as a matter of fact, because that's when camps are opening for college football around the league. A story out that the Rockets were prepared to make a big offer for Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
If Fred VanVleet. Now, I talked to people in the organization that said, well, I think they were pretty convinced, you know, they were going to get, they made a nice offer to Fred VanVleet. They were going to get Fred VanVleet. But they did not want to put that money aside for a week to wait for Austin Reeves and for the Lakers to match it, because you tie that money up. If you whatever offer you make to a restricted free agent, that money is tied up and you can't use it for other free agents.
Right, right. And so it limits you. So that's the thing, is the timing of it wouldn't have made sense. It would have been interesting, though, to see if the Rockets would have, like you said, it was almost a non-factor because you knew you were getting VanVleet. Look how much you gave him. How could Fred VanVleet, how could anyone on a league match that?
Yeah.
Why would we give him Fred VanVleet $40 million?
Well, because
I ain't doing that. Rockets are in a very specific, unique position that A, they had to spend money, and B, there's just certain things they need. And yeah, you got to pay retail prices. You don't get wholesale with your roster.
No,
you got to pay retail.
Especially for big.
But he's already working his ass off. He and Jalen are working together. Like the Fred VanVleet thing, for what you want, the intangibles are absolutely going to be in place. You paid for intangibles to an extent. Some of the bill was for intangibles, and he's already providing that. That's going to be there. Now we have to see how his basketball is on a day-by-day basis. But as far as Austin Reeves, I think his basketball is going to be much better than Fred VanVleet. I think Austin Reeves is going to be a much better NBA player over the next 3 years.
Apparently they were considering spending 20...
I don't know if he's a good fit
20-plus million a year for Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
It's a little dangerous on a guy who's down for 1 year.
But, you know, this isn't like... You can see it, though. That's not hard to project Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves looks like he might be the guy. He might be a really good player. I just don't know that he's a very good fit for the Rockets.
Yeah, I'm not sure paying him and then, hey, pay you and then make sure Jalen Green develops when you're going to be pretty much paying the same position. Neither one of you is a real point guard. KPJ, come back and be a point guard. I wouldn't understand the fit. He's not a progress stopper because you're investing in a pretty young player, but where does that leave Jalen Green? Is that a back, or he becomes your point guard? Or is this KPJ, is it a three-guard lineup? You already signed Dylan Brooks. Who's not getting minutes in that rotation?
Right.
Right. And did you need another white guy? I mean,
they don't have any besides Shingun, right?
So Jake.
Jake who?
to Lawndale.
Jake Myers?
Jock?
Jock.
He's Australian.
They don't count. They don't have any American-born white guys.
White guy.
American-born.
Australian. But there's no, well, it's, yeah, you're right. There's no American-born players. But, yes, we, the white delegation, Lawndale more so than Shingun.
Yes. Listen,
it's your native tongue.
You got too many white guys with Alpi and Chuck. No. We don't need him.
Alpi is a white guy. Foreign guy. He doesn't count.
Alpern's not a white guy.
If you're foreign, you're still white.
No, not NBA circles. You know, you're foreign.
Like, you wouldn't be called, hey, white boy. Like, somebody would try to denigrate him by saying white boy. No. You might be called white boy.
I would never be called white boy.
You might be called Italian? White boy. Yes.
Thigh meat? No.
Yes.
Thigh. Golly. Is that your alteration to dark meat? You're gonna start. You say thigh meat now.
To me, it's less offensive.
It is, but
for
I know
to call himself thigh meat is actually, it's not inaccurate.
It's less offensive, but I know what he's doing.
I think dark meat could eventually have Wendy having a conversation with him.
She hasn't
but
already.
Thigh meat. It's like, I mean, there's white meat and there's thigh meat.
He's saying he's tastier and moister. That's what he's saying.
Didn't I not tell you? Okay, I don't have to put any lotion on.
I'm not co-signing that, by the way. I don't know anything about his taste.
I'm a slimy Italian, okay?
Stop. He can call himself that.
Golly.
He can say that, Del.
All
right. He's allowed to say that. I can call myself a
crowd. Can you say that about other Italians?
Yes.
If they are, what are you going to do?
What if they don't say they're
greasy like I am, then I'm
what
sorry.
What if they say they're not greasy?
Do you get a pass to say
what
that word?
Yes.
Do you get a pass?
Yes. I do, but I don't say it around white people.
But there's some people who would not like you as much because you're Nigerian, and they'd say...
Nah, but I'm half...
Because I know there's that little
battle. But there's another half culturally. But there's another half from Georgia, so I think I'm okay.
Okay. So you can. So you can say that.
Yeah, but I don't...
you probably say it all the time.
No, I don't.
Now...
all the time? Wait a minute.
From John's standpoint...
Did you just say I probably say it all the time?
Probably. Have you ever heard me say it?
No, but you said you don't say it in front of white people. You can say it in front of me.
No, I won't. I will never say it in front of you.
You can say it in front of me.
Why? Why
can't
I say it in front of you?
John can say, now you can't say slimy.
I would never, no.
But John can say slimy.
It just feels wrong.
Yeah, but he can say it. I can say things about German people.
Right. What?
I can call us krauts.
I don't know if you can.
I can call us krauts.
I don't know. Wow. That feels like very World War II-ish.
Yeah. Sour kraut?
Well, I don't know if they like...
It's still out there. I can call it schnitzels.
Have you ever heard...
Like, look at these dumbass schnitzels.
I don't think...
I can say it. I can say it.
I don't know. Zierlein.
I'm uncomfortable right now.
Zierlein. Do you? I know, you
very
should be
uncomfortable.
No, exactly.
Have you heard other Germans call themselves that?
We don't because we stop because...
I don't think they ever did.
It makes other people uncomfortable. Yes, my German friends, sometimes I call them, what's up, my schnitzel.
No, you've never done that. Have you called them my schnitzel? What the hell? Oh, my gosh. I don't think you've ever done that.
I have.
Did you say that to Herr Snoop? Okay.
No. What? I say it to some of my German friends.
Is it considered the hard EL? What do you mean?
My schnitzel.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. This is uncomfortable.
This
is uncomfortable. But listen.
I'll say kraut.
No.
Somebody says something.
I can say it because I'm a greaseball. Yeah. I can say it.
Yeah, we just have rules. Like, we can say certain things.
I can say stuff.
I can't say the G word.
What?
Oh. What he says all the time?
Yeah.
Grr. Oh.
That one.
Oh, I thought you meant the other G word.
Or I can't say the other I word.
I can't say greaseball. What?
What about Del's word? Did you say that?
Yeah. How would you not say my word?
I'm out on your word. My parents taught me long ago. I'm out on that word. I don't say that word.
No, so you don't want to go,
but,
no, you don't want to do that?
My schnitzel.
That's flagrant.
We got a break in here on ESPN 97.5. Time to talk a little QC.
QC Kinetics. Hey, how's your knee doing? How's your hip doing? Are you already to a point where you're saying, man, I'm like 45 years old and I know I'm going to have a knee replacement or a hip replacement because it's bad. I played football. I did this. I was a runner, basketball player, whatever. You know, you're a catcher. Your knees are terrible. Maybe you're just a weekend warrior. Maybe you're somebody who wasn't even that active athletically, but it's just a genetic thing. Did you know that with QC Kinetics, they can work on that joint pain? They can work on that arthritis. And they take the body's natural healing power, and they do an amazing job of what they do is they concentrate the healing power of the body. They put it back into the joint, and it immediately starts to work on regenerating and rejuvenating tissue in that joint, whether it's damaged or whether it's missing. It's an amazing process. It's extremely effective. It is. You can go read their customer reviews, but it's extremely effective. This ability to treat joint pain really works, and it's why so many professional athletes have turned to this, and you can too. You don't have to be a pro athlete. Four locations in the Houston area. No matter where you are, you're an easy trip away from QC Kinetics and an easy trip away from potentially changing, you know, your overall pain level and making your life more livable and really enjoying your life. QCKinetics.com. Call 713-913-5285.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.